The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome to Mind Pump. It's a punch to the spectacles all the way down to the testicles.
That was great.
You know what though? Could I see? I know Justin so well that I could tell.
What are you doing?
I'm gonna punk him right
no,
now.
No,
yes,
fuck
I
you.
Had, that was so good that I know he practiced that.
Did he really?
Oh, he
I
had
did
to,
not.
Yes, you
I
did. You not. Had
I
to
thought
punch.
Of that on the way.
That
home
was way
like,
too.
Yes.
That was way too smooth. Right
spectacles
there.
To testicles. It rhymes in everything.
That's what I'm saying.
You guys want to talk about? You had brought this up earlier, Adam.
Let's talk about. Oh, sorry.
Let's sex, talk, baby.
Damn. There's that angel voice again.
Don't get me going.
You guys want to talk about our own personal fitness evolution, like what we did when we first started working out and how that changed and how we basically got to where we are now in terms of our.
That's a really good question because I've had a lot of people ask some things on the Instagram and stuff like that, and I think to myself like, you know, God. I can give you the quick answer or the right answer or whatever, but there's a part of me too that I feel like we should share that because I think telling our story, like, cause let's be honest, none of us, I mean, we've all been trained, 10, 15 plus years, whatever like that. Uh-huh. None of us train the same way we trained when we first started. I know we don't. I don't even know your guys' story and I already know that's not true.
I know. I knew everything I know now back then. No, I'm just kidding. Shit. I don't know anything. What about your personal, your own personal evolution of fitness? Like you worked yourself out.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right now.
How old were you guys when you first started lifting weights?
Yeah, your very first experience?
Mm. Yeah.
I was a junior in high school.
Wow. Junior. That's old.
Yeah, yeah. And let's be honest, even then it didn't really get serious till I was a freshman in college.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. When I was a junior in high school, my buddy had one of our good friends. This is great. You have flashbacks right now. I'm thinking about this. I don't think someone's asked me about this in a very, very, very long time. I'm talking about this. So I started off in like my buddy's garage and, you know, he had a pretty cool little setup. His dad had a cool setup in his garage. And I was so weak, my chest, like, and they love bench pressing. My two friends,
of course,
they wanted to do was bench press. Yeah, yeah. And all I wanted to do was bicep curls. That's it. Bicep curls all day long.
Curls for girls.
And let's be honest. I bet you guys probably have a similar story of, you know, the first time you picked up any weights, everyone's kind of naturally strong somewhere. And I just had strong biceps in comparison to anything else on my body for sure. Yeah. So I was drawn to that. And that was kind of how you kind of start working out.
Everybody's favorite exercise is the one they're good at.
Yeah, it is, right? So I find that really fascinating. And so they always wanted to do bench. I used to get so pissed because they wanted to do benching all the time. And when I had to bench, this is true, right? So we had like a Smith machine rack. Uh-huh. And I would do a bench press. And when I'm doing the bench press, so first of all, I couldn't even do the bar, dude. I couldn't do the bar straight. I couldn't hold the bar straight without them spotting me. And both of them had spot me. So one guy would press my shoulders down because I did one of those.
Oh, no.
You're like, way to your right, way to your left. You know, like I couldn't keep my scapula retracted, you know, nor did I even know what the fuck my scapula was probably back then. You know, so I don't know what I'm doing as far as form and technique. I'm listening to my buddies who have probably just a fraction more information than I have. And one of them's pressing my shoulders down while the other one's spotting the bar and trying to keep it straight and level. And it was the most awful thing to probably watch. And it was, I literally benched like that for like a year.
Did you fall in love with it right away? Or was it something that you kind of forced yourself to do and then you got into it?
You know, I don't know if I wouldn't say I didn't fall in love. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I was an athlete. You know, I liked seeing.
So you liked sports more than weights?
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely. Uh-huh. If back then, oh, for sure. If my boys wanted to like go play basketball outside or go lift some weights, Yeah, I played basketball outside for sure. Mm-hmm. I definitely was not into weights till way, way later. But yeah, that's where it started for me. I'm curious to hear how you guys started.
Dude, what about you, Justin? How old were you when you first started lifting?
I was probably a freshman in high school, actually.
Wow.
I know.
I got you guys beat.
Yeah, you got us. Dude, because we were like going bananas with sports. Like I was going crazy with sports.
Sal,
like,
you were. Right. Remember the nerd, remember? Like,
You and I are playing sports. That's what I'm saying. I was doing cool soccer, shit, baseball, basketball.
Justin and I were busy doing cool shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I mean...
you were busy reading encyclopedias.
Boom. Burn. Yeah. Yeah, anyways, like, it wasn't until I started to play football, because I didn't play football till I was in high school, because my dad just wouldn't let me, and so that was like, his dad wouldn't let him, and I really wanted to play, so I was playing soccer, and I was like slide tackling everybody, getting bored with it, and I'm like, I gotta play football, man, this is weak. And so my buddies and I think they had started lifting weights a little bit earlier than me because of they played Pop Warner. And so they started teaching them how to lift weights and stuff. And I went to the 6 a.m. Workouts, and they started teaching me, you know, how to lift weights. And I was pretty good at calisthenics, like dips. Like I was actually like, for a while there, I held the school record for dips. Mm. And so me, I'm all about pressing. So I loved the bench press. So I was very good at that.
You were the opposite of Adam.
Opposite, completely, yes, basically. Opposite. So yeah, so anything when it came to like doing pull-ups, I was like, ugh. Or they actually, what was so crazy is, so the staples for football, you got your dips, your bench, you got your squat, like back squats, you got your power cleans, you got your deadlifts, which we didn't really do that many deadlifts, to be honest with you. It was more just power cleans. And power cleans were really awkward. Like, so I totally effed those up.
I know, because what was your form like as a kid?
Oh, it was so shitty.
Yeah, it's like a reverse curl to a freaking...
It was like nobody knew what they were doing. Even the coach didn't even know how to teach it right. It was so bad. Guys would be picking it up on the floor, arching their back, and just like falling backwards and like kicking the bar out in front. And everybody was eating shit. And we were all just like, wow, this is a hard lift, you know? Nobody knew how to do it. It right, it was really bad. I mean, over the years we all kind of like gradually got better, but everybody was pretty decent squatting for the most mm-hmm. part, and so that's where we started getting strong together. But yeah, it was ugly. It was really ugly for a while there. And not to mention those weight rooms, I always remember as being the smelliest place on God's given earth.
Bunch of teenage boys
bunch
lifting
of
weights.
Protein and oversized
and sweat,
farty
stinky clothes
a bunch of balls high school. And farts.
Back then, too, used to work. I remember that doing stuff, even in basketball. Like, you know, you wear your jersey or your practice jersey like three times before you wash it. Like,
dude, you always had that one guy that had the lucky undershirt. Like, it's not lucky. Yeah. It's really obnoxious.
It's supposed to be white, and now it's yellow.
Yeah. All right. So, Sal, where did you? How old were you?
I was 12. Like five. I was 12.
Damn, 12?
12 years old. I had
puberty hasn't even hit yet.
Damn. Yeah, dude. I bought. I had the cement weights. You know the plastic ones with the cement on the inside. They're like plastic.
It's like prison weight style.
No, not. Yeah. I went to prison when
you
I
was
did
12. Some hard time or what?
No, you know what I'm talking about. The plastic, like the
girl
gray,
ones,
like the great. Yeah, exactly.
The girl, the chick ones.
Yeah. So I had those, and I followed the form that came with the dumbbells, and I did that every single night. I did every exercise. And then my dad had a weight set.
Just shows you how much smarter he is than us right there, right? He's like, yeah. I'm going to pull the instructions out, and then I'm going to follow these. Bro. You probably saw way better results than Justin and I did.
Bro, let me tell you something. So
it's all trial and error, like
fail. Like Justin.
Oh, I'm getting better.
Oh, no. So then I used to work out in the backyard, and my dad had an actual legit weight set, and I bought... Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding, which till this day I have it.
You bought it as a kid?
I bought it. I was 13 at the time when I bought it. So I was like towards the end of 12, dude, and at 13 respect. I bought it. And then I did every fucking exercise in that book. Every single exercise. So if I did chest, it was like 2 hours of chest.
Okay, wait a second. I want to back up a little bit now then. So obviously, I can tell by the direction this is going, you were the opposite of Justin and I too, where you came out, you were already a fanatic.
I loved it. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I fell in
so
love with
at
it.
What point did that switch happen? So you said that where you kind of started right away. But I mean, so I've always
thought physical strength was cool. I always wanted to be stronger. Okay. When I lifted, it was just the concept that I could work my body and get it to where I wanted to go. That really appealed to me, and I mm-hmm. really enjoyed it. Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding I started with. Then I got Mike Mentzer's Heavy Duty. which was the complete opposite of the of Arnold Schwarzenegger style training. You know, Schwarzenegger did like this crazy split. You're working out twice a day. You know, each body part twice a week, lots of sets. Mike Mentzer, he was one set to failure per body part. And the first time I tried that one set to fit, because it was so different, it shocked my body. I think I gained like 7 pounds of muscle like right away.
Oh, it's so great. Oh, what a great. I'm glad you said that, because that's another question I want to ask Justin too, is remembering the first time you did something different, how and how it affected your body. Well, I can remember.
The biggest, for me, the one thing that I will never forget. So I was, let's see, I was summer before freshman year in high school. So by this time, I think I'm like 14 and maybe 13, 14. It was summertime. We were with the family playing volleyball. I had gone up and jumped to hit the ball. I landed wrong, dislocated my kneecap. So I had this injured knee and I had to wear this big brace for it. So long story short, I had to rehab it. And I went to the YMCA. And at one point I got irritated with the rehab exercises that the physical therapist gave me, all the band bullshit that, you know, worked for 1 week. And then I'm like, there's nothing else happening. So I got on the leg press and I started using the leg press. Well, my legs, by the way, people comment on my quads, especially how big they are. I had the skinniest legs you've ever seen in your life. Like, my knees were bigger than my legs. But they responded so fast. They responded so fast, I got stretch marks around my thighs because they just exploded. So I did leg press, and I'll never forget. I'm at the YMCA doing leg press, and there were these power lifters. And at the time, they looked massive to me, but I'm sure they were probably college students. I don't know. And they were squatting in the squat rack. And one of them's looking at me, and I have like 7 plates on this. I'm a 14-year-old kid. I'm doing all kinds of weight. And he walks over to me. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm leg pressing. He goes, oh, okay. He's like, that's not bad. He goes, you ever squat? I'm like, no, I've never squatted before. He's like, well, leg press is okay. He goes, but that doesn't really count. He's like, you got to come squat. So I'm like, shit. I'm like, would you mind showing me? So I go over with these guys, and I think they were, I don't know if they were doing playing a joke on me, but I basically puked. Like, they made me squat till I threw up. I went, I pulled the trash can over to the squat rack. I puked in it, and I finished my set. And the dudes were like,
you're 17 right now?
No, I'm 14.
14. Savage, dude.
And the dudes were looking at me and they're like, you know, like they respected me at that point. So then they taught me how to squat and deadlift. And then the rest is history. That summer, I think it was my freshman to sophomore year. I gained that summer 20 pounds. That's when everybody in high school was like, whoa, what the fuck? Because I learned
that's
how to squat.
That's a lot of weight for a kid, bro.
Bro, I mean, not all of it was muscle, but at the same time, you got to consider I was going through puberty.
Yeah.
So I have like natural steroids running through my system. Yeah. I had just learned how to squat and deadlift, and my hips and my legs and my back, which now tend to be my strengths, back then I didn't have much muscle on them. So all of a sudden that just blew up. I was eating like a fiend. I was taking supplements. I had discovered creatine. Mm-hmm. I had bought Weider's, you know, Mega Mass 3000, and I'd make like 2 shakes a day. Mm-hmm. And I gained all this weight. I got all this strength, and all of a sudden I had these big legs. That right there was the most impactful thing that I ever did. I don't know who those guys are. If you're ever listening to the show, fellas, please.
Oh, that'd be great.
Go on, yeah.
How awesome would that be to actually?
I'd like to thank you guys for that. But yeah, I'll never forget, man. I puked. And as soon as I puked, I wiped my face and I went right back over to the squat rack. And the dudes, they were trying to unrack the bar. And I'm like, no, I got 2 more reps.
God, how far?
And they looked at me like, holy shit, what's wrong with this kid? I'm like,
this fuck, kid I'm is do on it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, Justin, do you remember the first thing that you did that you transitioned, like as far or changed up in your routine or diet? What was the first thing that actually went, oh, so, shit, this is working. Something's working?
I do remember. And again, like to be fair, like every time I would lift weights, it was part of a program for a sports team. And this was still due to football. Like all of my changes happened in this period from like my sophomore year. Actually, like once football season started in football year in the fall. Well, actually, right before that, we did it in the off season. So anyway, we did these like morning workouts and I started taking heavy amounts of like protein shake with creatine, and then I put peanut butter in there and banana, and it was just loaded with calories.
And you blew up.
I totally blew up. Like my arms got fucking huge in my chest and my back and my legs, like everything just exploded.
Do you remember how fast you recovered at 16?
Oh yeah,
it's like silly.
Immediately, it was hard to get sore. It was so easy.
Yeah. It was hard to get
sore.
What happened was
for me, like there was different groups of lifting going on. So you had like I started out as like a DB running back kind of group, and I immediately like grew out of that. So I was lifting more weight than all of them, and so then I went up to like, you know, the guards and the offensive linemen and defensive line, and then I started matching all these guys that were like, you know, like 50, 60 pounds heavier than me.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I started lifting in their groups. And so then they challenged me even more. And so I'm lifting even more weight, you know, more squat, more power clean, more bench press. And so, yeah. So I remember going from football after that sophomore year to, because I still played basketball, and my arms were, you know, definitely, like, obviously bigger. And I had, like, actually influenced, like, some guys that were grades ahead of me. They were like, dude, how'd you do that to your arms and blah, 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 you know, because you wear tank tops and my arms were just huge. And I remember, like, this guy in particular that played for another team, and he was like, started working out all heavy, and I saw him the next year and he was all big too. So it was cool, dude. It was like everybody kind of noticed it right away. And then I was into that. Obviously my basketball skills kind of diminished a bit because my arms weren't very flexible anymore. But yeah, that was crazy. It was almost like an overnight thing. Yeah.
What about you, Adam?
My what?
Like the thing that like made a big change.
So
yeah.
the very first one was, okay, so I was your typical like kid who didn't know what the fuck he was doing. I told you before, I'm doing bicep curls every day practically. Every day I went to the gym, bicep curls are in there for sure, right? And then probably working on bench press, and we did a couple of chest. So chest and arms is like primarily all we're really doing, you know, and like every once in a while that we throw a shoulder machine in there or whatever. I'm doing that all the way from, you know, what, 16, 17 years old all the way till I'm almost 18. And before I turned 18, I had, at this time though, I'm in junior college. So I graduated high school young. I was in junior college before 18, and I'm going my freshman year. And at that point I'd got a real membership. We'd moved on from working out in my buddy's garage, and now I'm getting serious and I'm starting to get into it because I'm starting to see my body change a little bit. Not a big change. It wasn't until I purchased a national certification because I become intrigued about being a personal trainer. And at that time, I didn't think I'd be a personal trainer for a career. I thought it would be a cool job to have while you went to college.
Sure.
I thought, oh, what a cool job, you know, work out and learn all this stuff and teach people. And I had no idea how much they made or anything like that. I just, there was a couple of really buff trainers in our gym, and I was like, that would be cool. You know, he looked cool. I wanted to be cool, you know, whatever. So at that point, that's the extent of it, right? So, and I started doing research on what I needed to do in order to become one. And, you know, national certifications was like the thing that I had, or what I thought at that time I had to do. So I purchased one. It was IFPA back then. And I got the book and I started reading. And once I started reading, this is when I knew I had fallen in love, because I was never the guy who, I did not like reading in school at all. I did not really start reading until in my 20s when I started like to read stuff that I, and this is what changed a lot of that, is I picked this book up for the first time in my life. Like, I couldn't put it down.
You finally got mentally stimulated.
Yes, like, I was so stimulated by it and I wanted to learn. That I was just, and it just gave me this thirst for more information and to get better at this craft. And that's when it really took off. And the very first thing that I changed in my working out when that like a light bulb went off was like, you mean to tell me if I don't want to get big, I don't necessarily have to do four to six reps of everything and as heavy as I could possibly go.
Yeah.
Doing light repetitions could actually give me build muscle too. Cause at that time I had thought that like,
it was all heavy.
Cause anyone had ever told, if you asked any other meathead, how do I get big? What do you do? Oh, low reps, heavy ass weight. You know, so that was everything we did, and we did that for years.
Yeah.
And so I switched to like super lightweight and repping out like 15 reps, and I blew up. Yeah. I was like, all of a sudden I added like 10 pounds on. I was like, holy shit. And then forever that's been like, I love to share that with people who think that, you know, you can't get big, you know, you can't build muscle by lifting high repetitions and lightweight. That's for girls.
That makes a lot of sense for your whole mantra.
Oh, right. Yeah. So that was very, very fascinating. So that was the first time it switched for me. It was the first time I had fallen in love with it, but by far it still was nowhere near where the evolution of my training is now, because even then, now I'm starting to work the body a little more symmetrically. Legs get done once every like couple weeks, you know. So then I'm not completely swimming. I'm definitely like rarely ever squatting because it was just awkward for me. I was lanky. I was very lanky and always ended up hurting my back. My back was always hurting my knees. So I got into leg pressing and I was doing lunges and doing all the other shit that you could do for legs. But you mentioned how much you were pressing. I remember like four plates on each side was a big thing for me way back then. So to think you were pressing seven, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was
at that young of an age, because I'm like 20 years old, like pressing four plates,
High school, I could squat three plates and deadlift four. So I was just really strong at those two lifts.
Wow!
Right off the bat.
Yeah, that's impressive because I didn't see gains like that. Well, into my 20s.
But then keep in mind, I had been lifting weights since
it explains a lot. Even like you talk about your quads, like you're pressing and doing that kind of weight on your legs. Like I was doing that like 3 years ago, I barely got over that hump like 3-4 years ago. You were doing that at like 14, 15 years old, and I hadn't even started yet. I mean, talk about a serious head start. Not to mention you're hella old too.
What about stupid things? You guys remember any stupid shit that you did when you first started working out?
I think it's pretty stupid to be skipping a lot of body parts.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds very,
there was like zero core functional. There was nothing. It was like maybe like some crunches and that was it. Like I was, you get to a point where I was so imbalanced and I would seriously be like top heavy almost.
Yeah.
I felt myself on the field. Like once I started getting like momentum, even more solid. Yeah. Yeah. I was like juggernaut. Like I couldn't stop myself even. You know? It was bad.
I was such a fanatic right off the bat that my mom was constantly worried about me because I'd come home from school and I would take a shake, then I'd go out in the backyard and I'd be I'm a freshman. What freshman does this? I'd come home, eat, then I'd go in the backyard and I'd lift weights for 2.5 hours. I'd just be out in the backyard by myself, just lifting weight. I'd bring out my little boom box and I'd put Metallica on, and then Rage Against the Machine was another one.
Yes.
And I'd just start lifting, and I'll never forget this. One time I'm doing I was doing heavy shoulder presses, and I'd take the barbell out to the grass so I could do it out in the sun with my shirt off because I could see my reflection in the glass. Nice. And my mom sometimes would be there cooking, right? So she'd be looking back at me. So I'm doing this lift, and when it gets really hot, especially when I was younger, I used to get bloody noses really easily, especially in the hot weather. So I'm doing these shoulder presses, and I'm like halfway through my set, and my nose just starts bleeding. And fuck, I'm not going to stop. So I keep going, right? So I got blood coming down my nose. My mom almost,
so hard
her head almost exploded. I hear her screaming, what are you doing? You know, she goes, oh my God, you're going to kill your child. I got blood all over me. I'm like, I got one more rep, mom, get away.
I got one more rep.
Yeah, and I just got blood all over me. Another time I dropped the barbell on my eye. I was doing an incline press, and I thought I racked one side, and I thought the other side was racked, and I dropped it. Boom, black eye, finished my whole workout. I walk inside, and my mom's like, what the hell happened to you? And they're like, the barbell is like right now. I'm like, no, about 40 minutes ago.
One of the most embarrassing things that's happened to me like that were like an idiot move I did was actually when I was older and I was a trainer already, and I was doing fucking stability ball stupid exercises. I don't even remember what it was. I think I was doing like rope push downs on my knees on the fucking
did you fall?
Oh yeah, bro. Ball would I finished the rep and the ball just shot out from it, and it was like one of those ones too where like I didn't like tip over, like the ball shot out, so I completely with like a backflip and landed on like the back of my neck and my head, dude. It was
nice.
Just
bro, when I was 17, I don't remember who I read that did this. There was a bodybuilder that had done this, and I used to read about I could tell you about almost every single bodybuilder up until Dorian Yates. That's when I stopped kind of following, but I knew all the old school guys. I'd follow. So when I'd see things that they did that, you know, I thought would have an impact on my physique, I would do it. And so this is, I was 16 years old. I used to set my alarm for 3 a.m. so I could wake up and take a shake and go back to bed.
See, I did stuff like that too, but not until I was in my mid to late 20s.
But just to show you what a fucking idiot, like crazy I was, 16 years old. That's, you know what I mean? And I'd wake up, take my shake, go back to sleep.
Well, dude, there's still actors that like say they do that as part of their getting ripped. Yeah.
Know, well, now I know that that's stupid. It doesn't do anything. But, you know, at 16, I thought it did. So
I used to do it because I was always that kid who could never eat enough. And so it was like, it was just a way for me to get more food into me. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, I wasn't hungry when I went to bed. I ate everything I could possibly eat. And that was a huge problem for me too for a very long time, which that's another transition. We can talk about that as huge as far as, I mean, I had a lot of, you know, points where I really switched up. And I have to say the last bit of, I don't say last bit because we're always evolving and growing and learning and right. But I have to say this last run, like just what the last 2.5-3 years when I got into competing,
really figured it out.
Oh right? Yeah. It's probably,
you know what it takes? It takes two things. It takes experience, but it also takes checking your ego.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once you're able to finally, and this is for the listeners, if you can check your ego, you're going to make more gains instantly. Yeah. It sounds stupid, but it's 100% true. It's probably more true for guys than girls. check your ego. Stop trying to do the ego workouts. You know, start training smart.
Tough. That's a tough transition.
It's hard, right? But once you make it, you look back and you're like, God, what was I thinking?
It's why I'm so passionate, because I probably talk the most shit about how I don't like beast mode this and blah, blah, and everyone like it drives me crazy, because I have learned, and I was very much so that mentality and very much so that guy. And to have now seen the best changes ever I've ever had in my physique was when I had to get so dialed for this show that it was like, it didn't even, I had to, like you said, check the ego. It didn't matter that I felt flat and weak and, you know, all these things like that. I was like, I was on a mission to get to a certain body fat percentage. And from there, it didn't matter. I knew that I couldn't hit stage fat. I may not be the best looking shape guy, the most symmetrical, the biggest this, the biggest that, but most certainly I will not be the fattest guy on the stage. Yeah. So I had to switch that mentality, and it really made me change a lot
of
ways.
It's a paradigm shift.
Oh yeah. And then it's, so that was probably the greatest and the biggest was getting past that to this level.
Do you guys remember the first time like a girl noticed that you worked out without you having to go up and tell her or flex? You know, where someone's like, wow, you look like you. Do you remember that?
Yeah, when I had my shirt off and I was playing basketball. And then, like, these
two girls. He remembers the exact moment.
Two girls came up to me and like, wow, you've been working out, huh? And I was like, yeah.
I'm going to lift weights forever.
You want to touch my muscles?
Yeah, pretty much. It was so funny. I was like a sophomore. That's when that whole thing happened, when I was a sophomore. I just realized, like, the attention of it was just so different. It was crazy.
Well, in high school, I was kind of known for being strong, but not really like ripped or anything like that. It wasn't that long ago. I'd say it was probably maybe only 10 years ago, where I'll never forget, I had gotten really, really ripped, for the first time. And I was at the beach and people were just staring at me. And I remember thinking, what the hell's going on? And I realized, like, oh, it's because I'm really lean. And then it kind of clicked. Like, if you're really lean, you're going to make much more of a visual impact than big any day of the week.
And 99% of the time, those people that think you look bigger that when you're leaner than what you do. Because every time I've gotten shredded now for
everybody
a show,
says you get bigger.
Everyone's like, dude, what are you doing to get so big? I'm like, I'm going the other way, bro. I'm like 15 pounds lighter than the last time you asked me that, you know. But people, you look so aesthetic, it makes everything pop and you look so much bigger, you know. So it took a while for that transition.
Well, I think kids today, like, we were, you know, back then, what were our resources? We had Muscle and Fitness, Flex Magazine. I used to read Iron Man. I even read Muscle Media 2000, which was talked a lot about anabolic steroids. Dan Duquesne was one of the writers in there. Mm-hmm. But now kids got the internet. And I tell you, if you're listening to this right now, there's so much information that's out there that you could learn in terms of how to train your body. There's so much science out there that you can access. Like, these kids right off the bat are going to know as much as we did, you know, 7 years into us, you know, working out.
Yeah, but there is a part which I also think why I really enjoy what we do is – there's a lot of bullshit out there.
Tons.
And there's more than there ever was when we were coming up.
We should just, I should correct what I said. If you listen to us, don't listen to anybody else. Listen to us, and you'll be okay.
No, think about that though for a second. We didn't have all that, bro. It was very, Arnold's encyclopedia was pretty much the Bible, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot to learn and to evolve from that. But then there was also a lot of great foundational things that came from that. It wasn't like a worthless book, you know. There was a lot of good stuff that came from that book. I'm sure.
I learned every free weight bodybuilding exercise in existence from that book.
But now there's so many fucking gimmicks and people trying to make a buck that there's so much random information out there of like, oh, this is the best for this. Oh, this is the best for that. Ooh, this is the best for this. And so people, I feel like I get very, very educated people that come to me that are, they're fucking just lost. Mm-hmm. They're lost. It's not that they don't read or they don't try and educate themselves. It's just that they don't feel like, they don't feel quite confident enough that, you know, the bullshit that they're reading isn't bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because what do we do in the fitness world? It's so crazy. We back it up by some doctor. Some doctor says it's gotta be the fucking way, right? Yeah, or some doctor wrote this book or wrote this diet. It's gotta be the way because he's got his PhD. And there's so many companies that utilize that, knowing that, as a way to manipulate. So they run studies that are biased towards proving whatever their theory is. I mean, and it's crazy.
But they don't even run studies. Half the time it's a chiropractor. And then he says, I'm a doctor that, doctor approved. And it's a chiropractor.
Oh yeah,
Or, you know, something not fitness related.
There is. There's always some hustle to it, and that's just it. It's like
the dentist or something.
Hey,
like that.
If you even being a smart kid or a smart person, there's a lot of shit they got to go through. You know, there's a lot of stuff they got to weed through to kind of figure that out, which. Mm-hmm. Which is why I feel like, you know, why this show will always do well is I try and feel like we try and stay true to that, you know, it's all about that. It's all about just bringing to surface like how it really is, you know?
And, well, you know, I'll say this, man. I when I talk about when I first started working out, I get this incredible nostalgic feeling because I had, like, I love working out now. I still love working out. It's one of my absolute favorite things to do. But back then there was just this feeling of awe. Like, you know, you walk into the gym. I mean, the first time I walked into a gym, I think I spent 3.5 hours there. I think I called my parents like twice to not pick me up. Like, okay, give me another hour. It was just, the feeling was just amazing. It was like I was in Disneyland, you know? Like I said, I still love it, but some of that mystery and that excitement's gone because I've been doing it for so long. Like, I've been living in gyms for, you know, almost 20 years. You know, So, you know, and you guys have been in gyms for a long time. After a while, you've seen a lot. You've seen it all.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel at home. I go into a gym and it's like, today I was working out and, you know, there's some weird dude doing some weird kung fu on the bars. I don't know if you've seen this guy at the Golds. He's like this older Hispanic guy. And he like grabs onto the bar and he kicks his legs around and swings and does, I mean, the weirdest, I think he thinks he's in the Matrix. But, you know, being in gyms for so long, I don't even get fazed anymore by saying weird either. Shit.
Yeah, there's always that guy.
There's always some weird shit that you just see, you know. It's like, whatever, I'm at home. Yeah. I do my thing. Yeah. I could care less, so.
No, yeah. I think, when was, so I, you kind of mentioned a little bit about your nutrition. I don't think that switch really, really went off for me until I was probably into my mid-20s of the importance of, you know, I always thought I could work out hard enough or train, you know, and that was always it. To offset it. Or I need, and because I was somebody also who needed to gain, you know, I was never worried. Like, why would I worry about, you know.
Why am I worrying about junk food?
Exactly. What am I worried about? Why should I count my proteins, carbs, fats, things, weird stuff like that and worry about that? I don't even eat enough of that. I should just keep eating, eat whatever. So, like, that was my mentality of just eat everything in sight, you know? And so I was, in looking back now, I was, oh, my God, I underate protein, an unbelievable amount of under my protein. I didn't get enough of my vitamins and minerals. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, the carbohydrates, most of the carbohydrates were shit carbohydrates where they came from. It's like, dude, once I figured out, like, and I remember working it, like, okay, I'm going to do this for like 30 days. I'm going to eat this. I'm going to eat exactly what I write down. You know, I'm going to write down these foods. I'm going to follow this. This is what I'm supposed to eat. And then holy shit. Week two, I was already sold. Week two, I was like, oh, my body had changed so much. Mm-hmm. And that's why I created a long time ago the 14-day challenge that I used to do with clients and my camps and things like that. And all it is that I challenge my clients to follow something strict. And by strict, I don't mean the exact same foods. I mean a program and where there's a variety of all those things in there in your guys' meals, but stick exactly to that.
You actually do it.
Yeah, for 14 days. And it's amazing. In 14 days, the actual success rate is under 10%. Mm-hmm. Because either a birthday, a long night at work, a holiday, sick, something happens in that time that makes them break stride in 14 days. And it taught me so much about consistency. Mm-hmm. And that was the next big transition, was when I realized, like, shit, okay, not only is it important to do all these things, but then it's also important that it's
consistent.
Yeah. And you said this before. I think it's such a great line, is that, you know, a subpar program done consistently will always be, you know, better than the best program done inconsistently. Yep.
Every single time.
It's so true. That is so true. And when I by consistency, I don't even mean just working out, but, you know, because the working out piece can really be like 3 days a week. You don't even have to get in there 7 days a week and crazy as much as we
but
all
just
love
be consistent about
it. Be consistent about it and then feed the body right consistently. Mm-hmm. You know, not two or three good days, then a kind of okay day, then a not so good day, then a real shitty day, then back to a good day. You know, it's like, well, how do you expect your body to respond to you if that's how you're going to treat it all the time? It's like, you know, I always think of it as like an engine. If you're going to constantly be depriving it of fucking oil, you're going to be running with one flat tire. You're constantly doing that. Like, yeah, you could still go forward, you know, you could still drive the car, but it's not very fucking efficient. You know, like, if you want this thing to run smooth and right, you got to take care of everything. Just bottom line.
Be consistent.
Yeah. And when once that happened, I think that was another transition for me that switched. So I remember each. And it's like, that's the part of the growing of, I think, of my training myself and the evolution. It has definitely not been just because I read it a book. I had tons of national certifications and experience, and these are still some things that I evolved way later after that, when we're talking about getting into competing, that was just here in my 30s, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to be said about that.
So at the end of the day, just trust what we say, follow it, and be consistent. You'll be good.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.